are scumming the world about what's valuable, gold and silver, the fact that most people don't have money, the few do have. It's one of the chokhmas of the boyer that if everybody had money, then there would no one would have anything, because no one would need to sell anything, and no one need to hire himself out, and no one need to work. So you would just have a situation that looks like what you see on the kibbutzim, where nobody needs to work because everybody's got everything, and then they all went bankrupt. Another good human dream that went down the drain. This wasn't financially viable, because if everybody's got everything they need, so then why get out of bed in the morning? Why should I sell you anything? Why should I fix anything for you? Why should I hire myself out to work for anybody if I don't need anything? So that's one of the chokhmas you see in the Bria. A few people have a lot, and most people have a little bit. The only question is, why am I in the group that has a little bit? That's the only question you have to deal with. Now, right? Why couldn't I be one of the guys with a lot? So I know the answer for myself. You have to work that out. You have to work that for yourself. Okay. V'chein yesh niroi says, Nifno Zabari today is boinen as benigudim sheyeshnam bekesef ubezav. Shemitzad echad kamu ketana. We see mitzad echad, there's very little gold and silver in the world. With very little gold and silver today, silver number, whatever. Kesef v'zav, the pasuk uses Russian kesef v'zav in the same pasuk. You can buy enormous chunks of olam hazeh using very little gold. Mitzad echad han yikreira, mitzad echad they're very, very valuable. With gold you can buy whatever you want. ומצד שני, הם מחוסר ערך. שמצד עצמן, הם מביאים לאדם כל תועלת. Gold intrinsically has no value whatsoever. There's nothing you can do with it. It gives no benefit to anybody. There's no intrinsic value. You can't build with it. You can't eat it. You can't do anything with it. It's a useless blob of metal. And yet, it's incredibly valuable. That's mind-boggling why it should be like that. And not just in this generation, in every place in the world, in every generation, everybody agrees gold's the thing. One of the most primitive places, whatever, gold's the thing. The kol zeh noveya mehamachshava hatoyva shevachochma elyona. All this flows out of the, when you translate it properly, machshava toiva, the good thoughts that come from the higher wisdom. It's all decreed from Hashem. I mean, if you think about it, it's mind-boggling. Why is gold so expensive? There's nothing you can do with it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's useless. Everybody wants it, and with a little bit of gold, you can buy everything. Why?
At the beginning, that was only exchange. You have bread, you take rice, and that was like this. But
gold has always been valuable. How much we talk about gold? Gold is incredibly valuable. And yet, intrinsically, it has no value at all. It's a very useless metal. It's too soft to do anything with. Sorry? That's what we're saying, but you have to see the decree of Hashem. If you don't see the Chochmah of Hashem, then you can't understand it. That's what he's saying. It's one of the places where you're able to, remember we learned in Shana Bechina, he's showing us where, by meditating on the Bria, you can see the Chochmahs of Hashem. Yeah, that's, yeah. Why is gold, first of all, why is gold worth anything? Why?
It's a Mishkan. Where gold? Why gold?
Yeah, Chinami. You see that gold has a value only because Hashem injected into it a value. In and of itself, it has no value. No human would come along and say, wow, this is worth $1,200 an ounce. What are you talking about? You can't eat it, you can't smoke it, you can't do anything with it. Why should it be so expensive? And everybody all over the world agrees that this is the most valuable thing there is. Why? No, it's not talk. Only because of the chokhmah of the boy. The person needs to think and meditate on that long and hard in order to extract from there and see the wisdom of Hashem there. There's no industrial use. Kings wanted their thrones in gold, and then we see it's a symbol of royalty and whatever, but why? There's a famous kid story that the Amok Ma'oda story is there, but it's a kid story. But a certain Jew decided he wanted to go and seek his fortune over the world. And he went out on a boat, whatever, and he got shipwrecked and led up on this island, whatever. And these primitive guys took him in, and they were very nice to him, whatever. And he realized that these guys didn't have potatoes. None of their food was their potatoes. So he had some potato seeds or whatever, he planted them, and he showed these guys about potatoes. And potatoes became the thing in the island. That became like the most valuable thing on the island. The king owned all the potatoes, and people loved potatoes. It was absolutely fantastic. And when he left, they gave him a big basket of gold and whatever. And he arrived back home, very, very wealthy man. So his friend Yankula saw this, and he thought, wow, listen, they don't have potatoes, but some of them don't have garlic either. So he goes off to this island, with these garlic seeds there, and he goes and he shows the king whatever. He plants the garlic, and he grows it for them, whatever, and he gives it to them to eat. And the king loves this. He says, wow, this is almost better than Chaim Schmerl's potatoes or whatever. You need a very big reward. So he gives him a big basket of potatoes. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. Why is gold the big thing? Why is gold the big thing? Okay, steak, Chaim Salavavas. The fact that gold is the gold standard is only because Hashem, that's Chochmah's Hashem, there's no other reason for it. Ba'akach ein bedvarim anitztrochim lekiyum haguf v'hachazokoi ad bo eisoifoi. Afterwards, go and have a look and investigate those things that are required for the guf to maintain itself until it doesn't need to be maintained anymore. ותמצא שכמה מדברים אלו מצויים בעולם בכמות גדולת וכמה מהם מצויים בכמות קטנות. Some things there's a lot of that you need to survive, and some things very little of what you need to survive of. הכל בהתאם למידת הצורך עליהם, and it's all exactly in proportion to how much you need of them. וכל דבר שצריכים לו ביוסה הוא מוכן ומוצא. Things you need more are more available, and there's more of them. The cold of a chef shall eat kayem balad elagamre, and things that you don't barely need to exist, or the fachot zman mesuyam, kashay yotel asigav ein uzdamlem ladam elap leprokim. It's very hard to find them, there's not that much of it. Sometimes you can only find it in certain seasons, whatever. Zelo muzan kol azman. Ubekamat katan, lemoshel, ha'avir shenoshmim, the air that we breathe. The given chef shall eat kayem baladay afilu sha'achas b'shum oifen. How long is the Shah Achas? 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. How long can you live without breathing? Also, our boy is Barach Motsu Boilam, so therefore it's everywhere. It's easily accessible, it's everywhere. No one's deprived of that. Everyone's got his oxygen. You go up in the morning, you breathe. There's plenty of it, you don't have to go digging for it, you don't need to set up a mining company to find it. You just breathe. There it is. Water. Many, many things. Gold and silver, you need less, so there's much less of it. You can live longer without water than you can with avir. Therefore it's spread out and it's not everywhere. It puts it in places where animals can get to them. You have your water holes and the rivers and whatever, so that the animals can get there when they need to. It's not withheld, and yet it's not as easily available as air. You live far away from water, you pay for it. You pay somebody to carry a bucket in your roof. Water, it's not equally available all types of different animals. The camels in the desert have less water than the place. The alligators in the Amazon, they got a lot of water. Fish need water all the time, so they have lots of water. Birds need whatever, each one according to his needs. Masha'en kain air. Motsu and Italy said, cool of a shovel. Tamid by Sabida. Everybody needs the same amount of air all the time. So everyone's got the same amount of air. At least you want to go live in the top of the Himalayas there and deal with, you know, no air. But most people, normal people living in normal places, very interesting. People that live at high altitudes, their bodies have adapted. The Sherpas and whatever that can live and climb and function at very high altitudes because their physiology is different. It's adapted. And therefore they need less oxygen. But the bottom line is oxygen, your tera pachot, with very few exceptions, is available to everybody equally, whereas water isn't. Well, there's tzorech gam ba'oichel. El ha'shem shel iskayim balada izman musam ha'mitzol lo'y letachlif. Food you can live with longer than mayim, and you can find alternatives. Yoyz ma shezeh ev shel agave avir v'mayim. It's not easy to find alternatives to water and air. It's much harder to get food than water and air. Changing a little bit. Water's become very expensive. What did you pay for that bottle of water? It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. It's one of the klalas. Now you'll pay for your own water. Right? It's not one of the klalas that you'll have to buy your own water. They'll feed you poisoned water and you have to pay for your own water. Ela sha'afa pi kein nimtze mimene harbo. Nevertheless, there's lots of food. Everybody Hashem wants to live today has food. Many people don't have food. Hashem wants them to die from starvation. You won't have food. Well, your terrible chod, generally speaking, anybody who needs food, there's food. This is where there's terrible famines and whatever. That's Hashem decree. There should be a famine there for whatever reason. But wherever Hashem needs animals or people to have food, they have food. But not as much as water, not as much as air. Unless you live in America, there's more food than air. But that's America's problem.
And we say in the world we have enough food for everyone.
Everybody. But everybody. Locha said, you know how much food? I'm involved in a project at the moment. Anybody wants to torrem to that after you've given to the yeshiva, you're welcome to. Just if you could set up storage places for the leftover food that gets destroyed in this country every day, you could feed everybody in this country. Everybody. Setting up a model at the moment in the Negev. Setting up a cold storage place in the Negev in the moment to show people that there's enough food for everybody if you just have somewhere to store it. Do you know how much food gets thrown away? Do you know how much food gets left in the fields every day that just doesn't pay them? There's a cost effectiveness in producing food. It costs so much and so much to take potatoes out of the ground after you've put them in. So what about the leftovers after you've taken the first harvest? What's left in the ground? Does it pay you to come back and take it out? No, they just leave them there and they rot. They rot. Tons and tons of potatoes.
In America, they burn the wheat.
They burn. It doesn't cost them. I said to the one guy, why don't you destroy it? He says, it doesn't pass. To come back and burn it, to come back and destroy it, to take it in a truck and put it in the seeds, just leave it there to rot. They're happy for you to come and take it. The big makolets, the Asha'ads and the Rami Levis, you know how much vegetables they have to destroy every day? And it costs them a fortune. They have to stick it into these big, they've got these big marasek machines that marasek's it and sticks it into the beef. They can't leave it there rotting. It brings disease and flies or whatever. They're happy, come and take as much as you want. There's no shortage of food. What creates the shortages are the false shortages that the producers. And also because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets it up that way. If the farmers couldn't make a living from selling food, that stopped growing food, there wouldn't be food for anybody. You have to have a situation where wheat has a market value that pays me to grow wheat, otherwise why am I going to do it? That's what happened with soya.
The problem is they do this, you know, in purpose.
Of course!
This way they keep the price.
Of course! Because if they didn't, they wouldn't grow wheat, you wouldn't have any wheat. They're not just soya.
No, I'm saying they are Rashai.
They're not. This wheat farmer knows. No! Look at the chesed he's doing you. Look at it mitzad po. We're learning Shara Bechina. This farmer knows that if all this excess wheat hits the market, prices are going to plummet, he's going to go bankrupt.
Yes.
So he'll never grow wheat again, no one will have wheat. You'll starve to death because he...
Okay, you have a point.
Well, that's the Nakuna making. He has a chiv to maintain his market.
Okay.
We say Parnassa, it's not linked with the
and I'm saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world. But in the world of Ishtadlers, this guy is to maintain his markets. I understand what he's doing. In order to maintain the prices. Otherwise, otherwise there would be no food in the country, of course. That's what I'm telling you. I don't know if it's vicious. Ah, they could send it off to Biafra and feed all the, I don't know where people are starving today. Go send it there, whatever. Yeah, who's going to pay for that? It costs money to ship tons and tons, yeah? Okay, it's all about bucks at the end of the day. Well, it's down to money, but I'm saying there's certain chokhma in maintaining value as well. You'll see this year, for example, the fruit prices have plummeted. Because of the enormous heat and whatever, so the fruit ripened quickly. There was an abundance of fruit, so fruit prices came down quite radically. Okay? See next year how many of the farmers, the fruit farmers, go bankrupt because of that. It happens every now and again. You see like a whole bunch of fruit farmers go bankrupt because prices plummeted. Is that correct? It's like that with everything. Diamonds. Diamonds. There's a shortage of diamonds. We mentioned this yesterday. There's chisaron diamonds in the world. There's enough diamonds in the world for everybody to drown in diamonds for free. So why diamonds are expensive? Why is there such a shortage? They created a false shortage.
Because of you South Africans.
No, because of the Jewish South African who landed up marrying a shiksa, but that's another problem. Yeah? Explain to me why dealing in diamonds illegally in South Africa was a bigger crime than murdering somebody. Why? RDB was the crime. The biggest division of the police force when I was growing up as a kid was the illegal diamond business. That's who they used to go after. Kill somebody, we'll work it out. You get caught with rough diamonds, you're gone for 30 years. Why? Because the whole economy of the country was a national security question. They maintained it. They maintained a grip on the market. They owned all the mineral rights. And one company was given the rights to mine the diamonds and maintain the market. And until very, very recently, that's what happened. So the Russians came and what's his name?
This is Levayev.
Levayev came and broke the monopoly. Until he realized that the monopoly was after Gafka Good, and he went back in and he's also part of the monopoly too. And Hashem changes the world. I was talking to a friend of mine, he's in the diamond business. He was in the diamond business, he's out. A lot of the Yidden that were in the diamond business are out today. Antwerp, an entire city. Yeah, the entire Jewish population was involved in one way or another in the diamond industry. Within the space of a few years, there's not one Yid in Antwerp who's in the diamond business anymore. Because Boko came along and zip, finished. What happened? When he used to go to the diamond exchange in Johannesburg, you heard Yiddish. Everyone spoke Yiddish. Today, it's hard to find a Yid there. What happened? I used to spend 3 days in the diamond industry fundraising. And 15 years ago, I used to go to South Africa fundraising. 3 days was in the diamond exchange. Going from diamond dealer to diamond dealer. Today I don't even go. And one or two guys, I phone, whatever. I don't even go to the diamond exchange. What happened? It's all Hashem. It's all Hashem moving things, changing things. That's a chokhmah the boira. So that's klape food. Now, v'chein v'mashin ager l'mal bushim asuim ma'oires v'tzema v'gidul adama. What about clothes that are made from skins and wool and all things that come from the natural world? Since there are alternatives, more than there is for food. You can't get all these things you need all the time. You can live without clothes much longer, and therefore you can without food, and therefore the ability to find the raw materials you need for food are less available. Obviously the world's changed today. We have a lot of synthetic stuff and whatever, and you have to be ma'ayin and misboinen and what. Why Hashem did that? Don't know. You need a big head to work that one out. Ulam ha'avonim ha'yekorot v'azav ha'kesef v'sha'at zoros ha'teva. All the gold and silver and precious stones and whatever, pearls and all this stuff. The intrinsic need for them is almost negligible. They bring benefit very, very rarely. The only reason why they have any value is because the human has decided and agreed amongst themselves this thing has erech. because it has no intrinsic erech, it's useless. If all the gold and diamonds and money in the world would disappear, no one would starve to death, everyone would carry on living just fine. L'chein lo nimtza mehem, af etzel ben adam rabim, kamut kuzay shenimtzes mi'amazon etzel echad mehem. That's why you don't find gold amongst many, many people as much food as you find in just one of them. One man has more food than 1,000 men have gold and diamonds, because you don't need them. V'dov hazeh hu machmas hasiba sheskanu, v'kiven she'adam yoichel itkayim beladom. Since you can live without them, there's very little of them. And they're harder to find, and then you can't always get them. Amazing, amazing. In the Ruchnistika world, in the spiritual world, there's exact parallels. The Bulchanan says the parallel of oxygen, of air in the world, is Imunah. Since a person can't survive one moment without Imunah, therefore the world is, you open your eyes, it's obvious that Hashem created the world and Hashem's running the world. So it's something you have to go search and look for and discover. Fosh, it's like oxygen. That's how Bulchanan understood it. The same as you need air all the time, you need Imunah all the time. So that's why Imunah, the Sibot of Imunah, are available all the time. You just have to look in the mirror. You don't have to go very far to see Hashem. Hashem's right here. We don't see it, unfortunately, but that's how Rabbi Chanan was magdirin. The praiseworthy Hashem, the wise one, who has chemla and mercy on his servants, Asha'enash gechosa pekucha aleim letoiva b'kol mash hu letovosom, ein elokai mi balodot, there's no one else, he doesn't think about anything else other than their good. Kamo sha'am Hashem le'yoyna novi, ata chasta ala kikayoyna shelo amalta bo velo gidalta, shebin laila hayo bin laila ovet. You were very worried about the kikayon, that you didn't toil and you didn't grow it and you didn't, and one day it's here and one day it's gone. Vani lo achus al ninveh ira gedoyla. You were worried about this little tree that was yet today and gone tomorrow. I should be concerned about a whole city of Nineveh? That they should get destroyed? There's so many nigudim to this concept. The person has to work on this really very hard. Many kashas on this. Tov Hashem lakol v'rachamav al kol ma'asov. No, you have kashas on that? The sentence makes sense to you? Toiv Hashem lakol v'rachamav al kol ma'asov. Hashem is good to everybody. Hashem's good, not my good, not 75%. When Hashem's good, it means everything. V'rachamav, Hashem's infinite rachamav al kol ma'asov, of everything in the world. Do you have any kashas on that? If you don't have kashas on that, you should see about a defibrillator. 2,000 years of Jewish trauma and suffering and bloodshed and murder hasn't got you at some point to ask yourself, well, 1 second. Your own personal life, Auschwitz, you've heard of. We have kashas on this. Of course we have kashas on this. And to deny the kashas and pretend they don't exist is also not right. We know that we don't always have to root them. We know that it's true. But you have to go through it and discuss it and go into it and understand what's going on here. Okay, Metz Hashem, tomorrow we'll discuss the 5 things. Now that we've learned what we've learned, it's possible. Everybody should be doing this every day, right? Bechine is something you should be doing all the time. You walk to the yeshiva every day, you've got all the tools you need now in order to mamash, dance to yeshiva with Hashem. You know how to analyze things, you know how to look at things, you know how to look at the Bria, you know how to be disappointed in the Bria, and understand. So why don't we? So he's going to explain 5 things that prevent us from doing for being misboinen and being boichen in the Bria in order to extract and see the Chochmas Hashem in the Bria. Why don't we do that? Interesting, there's 5 things. Avodah Zarah, Redifa Chavayla, Hergel, Kishleinus, the Auschwitzes, the problem I've just raised, all the kashas we have, and Gaiva. Interesting, Gaiva, see what that is to do with anything. In Yeshiva B'Tzeitzer Elyon, in the Kapitel Tehillim, we say when you get to B'Tochen, there's a line there that's a big kasha. It says, you get to a level of B'Tochen, you start realizing, Taka, there's something going on here. And then what happens? Yipol mitzit ke'elef u'revovim miminecho. You look around and you see, one second, much better, much holier, much greater people than me. They crashing, they falling, they disintegrating. So why should I be talking? Why should it not happen to me? Yipol mitzit ke'elef. On your right hand will fall 1,000. Yipol mitzitka from your side will fall 1,000. Umiminecha from your right hand. Revolver. Multitudes. Multitudes are tripping up and falling. So why shouldn't I? It's a big kasha that we have when we get to Betochen. Not just, well, I'm a bad guy, so Hashem won't have, well, Hashem won't give me what I want and what I need, because I don't deserve it. Fine, we've killed that cockroach. But there's another one. I'm better than those people. So go look at the next line and see what it says. See, if I just tell you, you'll forget it in 30 seconds. Now we've peaked you. Now you go look at it. You'll look it up. Maybe you'll remember it. Even if one of you goes and looks it up, I'll be gratified. Remind me tomorrow, those who didn't look it up, I'll tell you what it says. When you say Kriya Shema tonight, you can go have a look. You'll see that it's in there. Yipol mitzit ke'elef u'revovi miminecha. Da 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 da.
Which tailing?
Yeshiv b'sei suvil yoy. Every night before you go to bed, you say it. Toiv, have a good day, gentlemen.
Thank you.